You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
So we've been talking to Dr. Karen Jensen, a naturopathic physician and author of The Three Brains. We've had stress be a very important factor, inflammation being a very important factor. What are some of the most common causes of cognitive decline? Or is it the stress and the inflammation?
I think definitely stress probably is definitely a part of it, because it causes the inflammation, and they're finding with people with dementia that actually inflammation is a contributing cause. There's a lot of other things. I know for myself, if I don't sleep, I really don't have a brain. There's the sort of common, you know, most menopausal women will relate to the sort of brain fog during menopause, so hormones. In the elderly, what's being found right now is people with untreated hypothyroidism can actually appear demented and have many of the common symptoms of someone with dementia. So that this is starting to be recognized more now, and doctors are actually testing more for thyroid problems in the elderly, because often they're misdiagnosed with dementia when it's simply hypothyroidism.
So would it be helpful to give our elders just a little bit of kelp in their diets?
I don't know if kelp would do it at that point, because I would imagine they've probably been hypothyroid for a very long time and just haven't been diagnosed.
And would there be other symptoms of hypothyroid besides the mental decline?
Yes, the fatigue. A lot of elderly people also have bowel problems. They're constipated. That's a symptom of hypothyroidism. Depression is a common symptom of hypothyroidism. Fatigue is huge. And just the general mental decline, as well as insomnia, can be a symptom of hypothyroidism. So it's common in women as they enter menopause. If the adrenals have been stressed for a long time and there's added stress on the adrenals during hormone changes, and if that's not picked up, then as men and women get older, then it can be more noticeable when it comes to the mental symptoms.
So check thyroid, check adrenals when you're looking at brain fog or mental decline.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people, I certainly saw it with my mother. She had dementia. My grandmother had dementia. And in the homes, I would go in, and as people age, or especially in the homes, they just don't drink water. And, you know, a dehydrated, shriveled up brain does not work very well. You know, I used to think, gosh, if I could just hook these people up to IV water, I think 40% of their problem, whether it was physical or mental, could improve.
You might get rid of their headaches and their constipation just like that in the old folks' home.
Exactly. So inflammation is a huge factor. Stress is a huge factor. One research team found that one episode of systemic stress could be sufficient to trigger a more rapid decline in neurological function. And then you add the cortisol there, the stress hormones. With animals, when they were injected for just 7 days, the amyloid proteins, which is kind of the signature of Alzheimer's disease, in the brain increased by 60%. You know, so you can sit back and say, oh, gosh, you know, like stress hormones and inflammation are erasing my brain cells, you know, and changing my emotions. And what can we do about it? Well, there's the diet and lifestyle that I talked about, the Mediterranean diet, exercise. The water is really critical.
How much water would be good to start working towards every day?
Water is essential for optimal three brain function. It prevents dehydration, increases blood circulation, and even mild dehydration can cause inflammation and fatigue and reduce cognitive ability in any age.
How much should we be drinking, though? Like cups, liters?
Liters.
Liters every day.
I would say at least 1.5 liters.
Okay.
And if you're really physically active, you need a lot more than that.
Okay. What are some of the supplements to prevent or treat the cognitive decline?
Yeah, looking at your lifestyle factors that you can do, you know, and then I talked about the Daily Brain for people that just want to, you know, try to prevent, you know, further cognitive decline if it's in the family or they're getting older, along with support for inflammation, which the Brain Defense will be coming out in the next couple of months. But for me, I'm now looking, you know, I'm in my 70s, and there's dementia in my family, and, you know, I've had a lot of stress, so Memory Boost is something that I've just started taking. You know, I don't think I'm slipping too many brain cells yet, but I don't want that to happen, and anyone I think that has had a loved one or experienced a loved one go through cognitive decline. You want to do everything you can.
Yeah. So, Karen, do you feel like it's genetic, or do you feel like it's like nurture or nature? Do you think doing all these things could make a big difference?
Of course, yes, I do. I think it can make a big difference. I mean, there are genetic components. You know, people that carry the APOE4 gene are apparently more at risk for dementia or for Alzheimer's, rather. But I would look at, you know, why do genes sometimes manifest themselves and other times they don't?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would think that, you know, we've got that whole area of epigenetics, you know, your DNA doesn't have to equal your destiny. And through diet and lifestyle factors and nutritional supplementation, we can control to some degree how our genes manifest themselves. And this is very exciting, I think, considering the number of people that are, the increasing number of people that are being diagnosed with mental health disorders today.
Yeah. Karen, what's in the Memory Boost that you're taking?
The phosphatidylserine, but it has ginkgo, which increases blood circulation, vinpocetine, which is a very potent cognitive support, and then the antioxidants like alpha-lipoic acid and N-acetylcysteine. And these antioxidants help improve cognition and help reduce inflammation by obviously providing the antioxidant protection. And it contains, I would say, Memory Boost would kind of be that added insurance. Or for people that are starting to say, gosh, I'm really noticing that, you know, I'm starting to forget things, you know, more than I used to. My go-to on that would be the Memory Boost and the Brain Defense for the inflammation.
Okay. So the Daily Brain would be like a multivitamin, like just prevention and taking care. If you see that there's a lot of cognitive decline, that's the higher power, the Memory Boost. You wouldn't use them together.
I would do the Memory Boost and the Brain Defense together.
Oh, okay.
Because the Memory Boost has ginkgo in it,
mm-hmm.
and the Daily Brain has the essential fatty acids, the omega-3s.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful as far as people that are taking blood thinners, or, you know, Health Canada is recommending that ginkgo and omegas not be taken together. So the Daily Brain would be for people that are looking to prevent, maybe up until they get into their, you know, 50s, you know, and if they're still doing well, continue. But for people that are starting to notice definite brain changes, or there's dementia in the family, I would definitely do the Memory Boost with the inflammatory support product like Brain Defense.
Okay. And is the alpha-lipoic acid good on other levels as well?
Yes, it's a wonderful antioxidant overall, and of course, more and more research is coming out on the importance of alpha-lipoic acid pretty much in most chronic disease, cardiovascular support, and just preventing the oxidation of the cells, which then leads to inflammation, which we've kind of been talking about as the root of most disease, which is caused by stress. And different stressors, like it's not just the obvious mental, emotional, financial stress that we recognize. Stressors are toxins in our environment, which also increase the need for antioxidants like alpha-lipoic acid. And I think many people, or most people today, are not getting enough antioxidants to offset these, what would what are invisible stressors that we're probably being exposed to every day.
Okay, and we're spending a lot of time on the brain part of it. Now, going back to the gut as being one of the brains, what are the best things we can do with that gut?
Well, the gut is also now commonly being called the second brain. And probiotics are really, really important. The gut has a what they call the microbiome, and as long it's bacteria in the gut, and as long as the good guys and the bad guys are getting along well and are in balance, there's not a problem. But stress, antibiotics, refined carbohydrates, too much sugar, several different things cause that microbiome to become imbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
And that imbalance in the gut microbiome can cause something called a leaky gut, which in turn influences the brain. The gut and the brain are actually a two-way communication. So if there's the permeable gut, more permeable gut as a result of inflammation and the imbalance in the good and bad bacteria influence the brain and cause anxiety and depression and other mental health disorders. But what they've also found is that the brain, there's a couple of areas in the brain that directly affect the release of stress hormones from the adrenals, and that this area of the brain and the stress response also directly affects the gut. So it's kind of a two-way street between the gut and the brain.
Mm-hmm. And how did the diet and lifestyle choices influence that mental health?
I think diet and lifestyle choices influence all of our being, not just our mental health, but, you know, like I was just saying, if we took something as simple as probiotics, that could help support. We don't think of the probiotics as being sort of a mood regulator, but they're finding that probiotics can help with depression and mood disorders and anxiety. And I don't think probiotics will be replacing antidepressants anytime soon, but they can certainly be a healthful adjunct for anyone, for general health, gut health, even cardiovascular health. Like the gut affects the brain directly affects the gut, but the newest research has found that the gut actually directly affects the heart, in that the probiotics can also reduce blood pressure.
It's fascinating. Where do we get your book? We're going to have to wrap up, but let everybody know where we can get your book, where we can get the brain food products, the gut products.
Your local health food stores has the book, and they have most of them carry the three brain products. And I just think it's fascinating. So we're finding out more and more how all three brains are interconnected. And then just getting back to sort of the hypertension, if the probiotics reduce hypertension, hypertension also damages the brain. And they found that hypertension or increased blood pressure, they're starting to see it in children and adolescents. And I find this really disconcerting.
Yes, very much. So there's so much new research out. And thank you so much for creating this book and making this information available to people. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.